It's a pleasure to welcome our featured guest today, Peter Grandich of Peter Grandich & Company. How's the weather today?
Very good here, Chris. We were blessed not to be hit by the hurricane, but to all those that were, our prayers are with them.
Absolutely. You know, 107-mile-per-hour winds hit Cape Canaveral. Even right here, way up in the mountains of the Appalachians, there was some heavy storms, but nothing like folks on the East Coast. So, you know, we've also seen some other storms in the financial markets as well. Do you think the new bull or nascent bull is intact?
I hate to say this time it's different because it never really is. But there's clearly signs that this is not a rally in a cyclical bear market in terms of what's happening in gold. I think while 1,400 would have put any little left doubt to bed from a clearly technical standpoint, I believe there's enough fundamental reasons to believe that the pretty bear market that we went from the highs from 2011 to last year is behind us. I think this is a simple correction, but they're never fun to go through. But they're the things that need to take place if it really is a new long-term bull market. So I'm pretty okay if someone is willing to look past today, this week, and this month, and particularly if they're willing to look out to 2017.
Looks like they're going to raise interest rates after the November election as soon as December. Are they just following rates higher?
I really don't think there's more than one or two interest rate rise in them if they go. I don't think this is the beginning of a long, drawn-out interest rise. So long as the three things that have underpinned financial assets continue to hold, I eventually believe one or more of them won't, and that's why I've taken the chicken in the foxhole approach. But the three things that have underpinned financial assets and still do as we speak is, one, what central banks have done. I've said that, barring an old Star Trek slogan, central banks have gone where no man has gone before. No one knows exactly how this will end, but everything you look at, it doesn't end well. However, it has put in a perceived floor to stocks and bonds with a feeling that you really can't lose a lot as long as central banks are flooding the system with money. The second thing is near zero and negative interest rates. This has really resorted worldwide to people and institutions to chase yield. And part of the places they've gone to look for yield is in the stock market. But most people don't comprehend the risk that dividend yields are not the same as yields that are normally received from bonds in the days when CDs used to pay or something. And the third, and perhaps the toughest reason that has kept things going the way they are, is what I call the all-in attitude. And that is a common question asked by anyone when you talk about maybe you should take some money off the table is, well, if I do, where do I put it? And they don't see any what they believe is worthy alternative. So they just keep it where it's at and then hope that they'll be able to get out in time if and when there's a change. The problem is, hope is a wonderful spiritual strategy, but I can tell you it's a destined for trouble investment one. So I think those are the three linchpins that have kept the market going. I don't know the day or the hour when one or more of them break, but when one or more of them break, then we're going to see some very, very rough times.
Exactly. And, you know, we're seeing those rough times, I think, unfold right now in the Eurozone. I mean, Deutsche Bank, DB, blistered for several weeks, even months, with derivatives. And this is, I think, going to be the topic du jour on a forward basis, because obviously our six leading money center banks here in the contiguous United States have somewhere between 250 and 300 trillion in derivatives, notional derivatives. The point is, there's a lot of exposure here on our financial institutions. And is there an easy exit plan for us? And if not, there has to be a day of reckoning.
I think the only reason it hasn't paid the piper, so to speak, here in the U.S. is because we're the reserve currency for the world. Japan has been in a quagmire, and we're seeing that in Europe now. And the big thing for 2017, God willing, we have the grace to be talking this time next year, would come as no surprise to me that the European Union has gone or begun to go through a true end of its life by one or more additional countries announcing or planning to exit the union. I think the most likely one is Italy. And I think if and when that happens, it just compounds the banking system problem that you already spoke about. So again, These are really the linchpins that I spoke about, are what's driving financial assets. Fundamentals and all the earnings of earnings and things, toss them out. Markets are overvalued. There's not real growth in the U.S. But those are the three things that are keeping both the public and the so-called professional sector still entwined into financial assets. Now, why that's actually a positive for gold is gold doesn't even get a sniff of any of that money yet. Now, the natural course will be is once those linchpins look like they're starting to break down, it will get a sniff. So it's important and to appreciate that what the results we've seen so far this year, even after this correction, really come from still no real interest from the public at large, at least in North America. And so I really think that's why I have really strong feelings that it was a healthy correction. The physical market has stayed constant. It was paper-driven on purpose or forced liquidator, whatever it may be. But I think as we get towards year-end, we'll get back to that 1350, 1400 area. And if and when we get above 1400 and stay there for more than a couple days, then you can, without any reservation, put to bed the notion that there's any still bear market exists.
Some are deciding to either take some profits, the institutions, hedge funds, choosing the sidelines. But I guess relative to China's negative 3.75%, I believe, which is really a remarkable thing. And you talked about the U.S. dollar being a reserve currency, but even that is somewhat under fire lately, as we hear that the IMF just accepted the yuan as part of the key reserve currency basket and even gave them some favorability status, which again, I think jeopardizes that hegemony of our greenback. But if we look back over some of the long bear markets that we saw in stocks as well as housing, it really did take 2 or 3 years to put in a solid bottom, even you might say the U.S. dollar before it rallied. I mean, it can take 2-3 years, a few false starts, if you will. That offers prospective bulls an opportunity to pick up discounted opportunities.
I believe it's been a two-tier market even during the decline. The physical market has remained far stronger than the paper market. I think the changes to where the paper market now trades as we move more and more to Asia, the influence of the, whatever you want to call them, some people have called them the gold cartel, the manipulators, whatever it may be, I think they have less influence. As you can see, we no longer get whacked and then stay down for any real length of time. It's healthy, sure. People who are short-term minded don't like that. But understand this, it's been a really good performer. It did what it was supposed to do. No one, it wasn't a lot of people even giving it a chance to do what it's done. And therefore, I just think, like you said, this backing and filling and building a longer base is very rewarding for those that still, if there's still anybody out there left, that still looks out 3 or 5 years for your investment return.
Bonds have many of our guests here up at night. It's just a rarity where you have equities and debt at such high levels together simultaneously. Usually they are somewhat negatively correlated. Maybe we've had a big rally and let some air out of the metals. But, you know, we also have a positive theme underway, and I'm sure you've noticed in the CRB.
We are going to wake up after Election Day in the U.S. and have about at least half of the population just totally despising who was elected. I can't fathom or know of anywhere in history where that is going to be the end result. And that's going to have, Chris, that's going to have a tremendous impact on what we go forward on, because there's just going to be so much headwind for whatever group or ideas take hold of the office, that there's half the people are going to do everything they can not to see that go forward. And I don't think the markets have priced in at all that. And it may need and probably will wait till after the inauguration and after the pomp and circus that comes with that. But I think by springtime next year, we are going to look at an America more divided socially and politically than it's ever been in its history, and I just can't see how eventually economically we fall into that same camp.
You remember what one of the founders of this great nation said? I'm sure it's already crossed your mind. And with regard to being divided, we must hang together or we will most surely hang separately. And we won World War II because we hung together. The ladies worked in the factories. The men fought out in the fields. Minorities ran the transportation system that gave Dwight Eisenhower and Patton the troops, all the support they needed. It was a remarkable feat of unity. Why don't you tell people more, please, about Peter Grandich and Company?
We are a business estate planning retirement specialist here in the state of New Jersey. We do it both for the general public and professional athletes, and our blogs can be found at petergrandich.com.
Thank you, Peter Grandich. Have the best weekend.
Thank you, Chris.
The gold and silver mining sector is red hot. Every investment portfolio needs precious metal shares. GoldSeek.com's top stock analysts have done it again, identifying the next solid gold nugget opportunity, Brazil Resources. Based in the eighth largest economy with a mining-friendly reputation, almost 10 million ounces of gold reserves. Industry insiders are accumulating shares of Brazil Resources. The notable management team includes Chairman Amir Adnani, a rising star in the mining industry with a reputation for moving projects rapidly into production. Fortune magazine lists Chairman Adnani in the prestigious list of 40 under 40 ones to watch. Plus, shareholders benefit from the insights and backing of enigmatic Brazilian billionaire Mario Garneiro, CEO of Brazil Invest Group, the nation's foremost merchant and investment bank. And founding director, their São Jorge project is 100% owned with paved highway access, a nearby workforce, and a hydroelectric power source near the major gold deposits. Their next top project includes three deposits identified by major gold producers, plus their Ria project, which is a joint venture with Areva, benefits from a $10 million treasure map in the hottest address for uranium production in Canada. But the story gets even more exciting with their Whistler project, offering geographic diversification in South Central Alaska. To find out more about this unique opportunity, please direct your web browsers to BrazilResources.com. At Yahoo Finance, ticker symbol BRI.V. Remember, to ride the exciting gold stock run of 2016 and beyond, your portfolio will thank you for adding shares of Brazil Resources.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.